Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Bradley Wiggins Show by Eurosport, the home of cycling, brought to you by Zwift, where fun is fast. I'm Graham Wilgos. Brad, final weekend, road stage before tomorrow's time trial. And joining us to talk about it,
Ola Shinwe.
Hello.
Ola Shinwe, welcome.
10 out of 10, Bradley. You've been practicing.
Yeah, I have been practicing, yeah. I've been watching replays of Sky Sports News.
Before we get into the stage, big 3 weeks for both of you, Ola, particularly you, presenting every single stage for Eurosport GCN Plus.
Yeah.
And I understand, Belle tells me, you've got a 3 a.m. flight to get on Sunday.
Well, I need to leave at 3 a.m. on Sunday to get a 6.
Oh, I think Sunday, it's 6 Sunday or 6:30.
Flying home on Monday. So basically, not that I'm trying to get out as quickly as I can, but it has been 4 long weeks away from my 2 young kiddos. So I'm going home for cuddles first thing Monday morning. And I've had a wonderful time, but it's nice to have something to look forward to. I can't wait to go home as well. But yeah, it's been a brilliant 3 weeks. I've just loved it.
Hasn't it just? Today's stage then, stage 20, Verbania to Alpimotta, 164 kilometres, Brad. Yeah. We were hoping for fireworks. We didn't quite get them, did we?
No, but we did in some senses. I mean, it was a great effort by Team GSM with Romain Bardet.
DSM.
I said in commentary, it looked sort of a move to nothing, but you know, they were soon joined by Bilbao and Caruso and then reformed in the break and they put the hammer down. And then from that point on, Ineos, I wouldn't say they were under pressure, but they had to think on their feet and they did. And there was an amazing display from Ineos today of GC riding and how to ride as a unit. And Bernal just cool headed, kept it all the way. And then individual performances, Martinez was phenomenal today. And Caruso, well, stage win, first ever World Tour stage win or race win, you know, and looks like he sealed second place as well. And then, of course, the demise of Simon Yates. So a lot happened, but not as we maybe anticipated.
Mm. Damiano Caruso, a popular stage winner as you'll find, particularly at this year's Giro.
Yeah, because he's been such a strong and loyal and dedicated domestique for such a long time. He's 33 now, a proud Sicilian. So for the home crowd, that's wonderful. And because he wasn't coming into this race as a team leader, he was supposed to be supporting Mikel Landa, was able to turn that around. And I don't think, no one expected at that stage when Landa crashed out that Caruso would really be able to do anything on GC beyond a top 10, which is, of course, phenomenal. But he's done that before and he's done it at the Vuelta and he's done it at the Tour. And really, I think if they had aimed for a stage win, they would have been more than happy to get the stage win and second in the podium. It's just phenomenal. And it's funny, I think, with Caruso because, you know, we all scour social media afterwards, make sure we're keeping up with all the news lines and stuff, and we'll read what people are saying about coverage. And lots of people say every day, we should be talking more about Damiano Caruso. We've been talking about him every day, but more in the sense that we're amazed by his ride. And it's what we said at the start of today.
Yeah.
Even though we were focusing on Yates, we also said we've got to be looking at Caruso and what he can do. But nobody expected him to be in an early move. Nobody expected him to be a stage winner. And I would argue maybe he didn't either, you know. He said he wanted to ride in defensive podium. He didn't do that, and it was brilliant.
He came in 24 seconds in the end ahead of Egan Bernal. Brad, I mean, you mentioned Martinez there.
Yeah.
Having dropped behind the group earlier in the stage to then fight back and rejoin it and then gun it on the front like we saw him do in that final climb. I mean, I was thinking back to what we saw Rowan Dennis doing for Tao last year.
Yeah.
And in the same way that Dennis was Tao's MVP. I mean, there's no doubt, surely, that Martinez is that same man.
Absolutely. And I said to Tao, I said at the start that he'll be his biggest asset today. And they had to keep him back. He rode behind Bernal most of the day. But some of the jobs the other guys did, I mean, Moscon and Pucho in that valley, what the job they did. Castaneda, what a ride he did as well today. Phenomenal, really. You know, they've sort of turned around in the last year, and you think that the stick they were taking at the Tour last year with Bernal. And Bernal was injured as well. People forget that. But just the way they were riding as a unit, it was, you know, gone are the days of the SkyTrain and all the sort of things that were being thrown around. But, you know, they soon turned it around at the Giro last year with Teo. But this Giro, it's hard to think, actually, that they could produce a completely different lineup for the Tour and be just as strong. The strength and depth they have is amazing.
Frightening. Martin has looked as good as Bernal. He looks like he's another.
That's what we always say about the strong domestiques, isn't it? We say that about Bennett, for example, who came here leading Jumbo-Visma. It's a different matter, isn't it?
Yeah, Wout Poels used to be like that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Wout Poels couldn't ride on his own, you know, for himself.
Leading is a different matter, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
One thing I was curious about, though, whenever Martinez was dropped again today, and you could see Castroviejo and Bernal looking over their shoulder, and they were clearly trying to control the pace on the chasing group to allow Martinez to come back over again. Is there anything anyone else could have done who was in that group at that stage to not allow Martinez to get back on again? Because I was thinking, surely you get Martinez back on there, then the race isn't over. It's easy to say that in hindsight, but he's always going to be the strongest domestique going up that final climb. Is there anything that Yates or any of the others in that group at that stage should have done to make sure that Martinez didn't get back on again?
I just think that it shows the pace that was being set all day, and that pace was being put on by the pressure in the front and how committed that front group were. It hovered at 45 seconds all day, and the pace was on, so it's very difficult to attack off that.
But if Yates had even staged a dummy attack, they would have had to stop looking over their shoulder and chase, surely, no?
Yeah, but then I think that's what Brian Smith had said on the post-show, that the plan clearly changed, probably down to the fact that how he was feeling today, Simon Yates. You know, and at that point, the all-or-nothing thing goes out the window, and, you know, he's trying to think of the stage win or just hanging on to his GC, because he sprinted right to the line. So I think that showed that all-or-nothing is... Now, the benchmark for that is what Chris Froome did a few years ago.
Yeah. I have to say, although it's an amazing performance and all credit to Martinez, I was so frustrated that he was there right up until the very end. I was screaming at the TV because it didn't then come down. You know, you couldn't help but be disappointed a bit by that because we did expect the fireworks. It didn't come down to GC against GC. You know, Bernal was led all the way up that climb, and that is obviously to take nothing away from the fact that that's not a toe, you know, he's not holding on to the back of anyone's saddle. But I would have preferred to see Bernal just have to fight for it today, and he didn't. So, yeah, Martinez was brilliant, but for me, it left me a bit cold, a bit empty. I was building up, my tension was building up all day, and I was waiting for a release, and there wasn't a release. They just got to the line, and it was like, oh, well. So I was a bit disappointed. Brilliant for Caruso. Bernal has absolutely been a worthy leader, and I think it's been brilliant to get to know him a bit through his interviews over the last half a race. But I was disappointed that it didn't come down to a showdown.
That two-up mountain Colombian time trial. Couldn't quite catch Caruso, though. This is how Rob Hatch called it for us on Eurosport and GCN+.
And it's going to be a maiden Giro d'Italia stage victory for a man who's helped to set up plenty in the past. Yes, zip up that jersey. Yes, you better believe it. Damiano Caruso, Grand Tour stage winner. A move on the first descent of three. Caruso's done it. Grande Damiano, that is the ride of your life.
So Brad, Rob saying that Grande Damiano. I mean, we've already covered it. Rob said it there, the ride of his life. Got
grande,
me thinking, though.
Grande. Not
grande.
Yeah,
well, grande, Damiano.
He's not ordering a coffee.
Rob would be very disappointed with me as well. Being such
grande
a stickler.
Latte.
So apologies to Rob and apologies to Damiano as well. Got me thinking. Lander going out so early.
I know, what might have been.
How different could the GC have looked if... because surely Lander going in as team leader for Bahrain victorious. The GC, if he hadn't have crashed, if he'd have stayed fit, could look very, very different now.
It
because
could have done,
with Bilbao looking so strong, he'd have had two of the strongest domestiques in the race with Caruso and Bilbao.
Well, then Lander, who knows? We'll never know. But that's what bike racing's like. You know what I mean? It's you're always left thinking that. Lander will be thinking that now. You know, could I have won the Giro? I had it in 2010, 11, or whenever it was, 11, when I crashed out the Tour. And watching Cadel win, you know, I was sort of thinking, oh, would that have been me, or could I have been on the podium? You always think that. And that's just the harshness of cycling sometimes, wouldn't you?
Did you watch it?
I watched the last couple of days. Yeah, I was inspired by it. Yeah.
But nothing up to that point?
No, I missed the middle week. Yeah. I couldn't watch it.
You crashed out pretty early.
And then in the middle week, there was a huge crash in the rain on this descent, and Jürgen van den Broek crashed. Vinokurov broke his femur. There was a lot of crashes that year.
Shows you how fragile it is, doesn't it?
It does.
Martinez finished third today on the stage. He's 35 seconds down.
Yeah, I know.
If Bernal had crashed out like G did in the same way that G did last year and Teo took his chance, that also got me thinking we could be seeing
Martinez
in a different world.
It takes a different mindset and different mentality. It makes more than that to be a GC rider, and that's why Bernal's so good, because he's so cool and calm.
Mm. Dan Lloyd said it earlier. Carrese has ridden himself towards a better overall result in a Grand Tour than Lander has ever achieved as well. So were they going in with the right man?
Yeah, that's one, isn't it? I don't know. Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know. I mean, Caruso probably ridden out of his skin because of how unexpected it was that he was going to be up there. You know, I think if he come back as leader next year, takes on that mindset, it could be a completely different ball game for him, you know. Who knows?
The totally different pressure isn't it? He didn't have to build up to being team leader and all the media attention that comes with it and that the whole team would stand or fall by him. I was absolutely devastated when Lander dropped out because I really fancied him for this Giro. But then Caruso would have almost had to do an Almeida for Evenepoel. And I think that would have been a terrible shame, you know, because Caruso would have finished his career without anyone really mentioning him amongst the top riders. Whereas Lander, whatever he achieves, he's always in that mix, isn't he? You know, and as you say, he hasn't even finished as high as Caruso has, but he's always one of these riders that we're looking out for. Caruso wouldn't have had that. So I'm delighted for him, really, terrible as that is for Lander, but that he got his chance.
Caruso's 33, so he's got a good decade on Egan Bernal. Bernal said last year that practically his only goal in cycling now is to win all three Grand Tours. His only goal is obviously a huge goal.
I mean,
there's only one left.
Yeah, only one to go now. Mm. Well, we think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's amazing what he's achieved, really. And with the sort of criticism he took last year, and, you know, because it was perhaps now looking back, you know, a little bit unfair, really, because he did have a back injury, but there was talk when he won the tour that he was going to win seven tours. And I think he'll do a lot more in this sport. He's
23, 24.
I'd love to know what his back issues are and how much that's going to rumble. Mm. You know, I mean, we were looking at, there was a post on social media of him walking over to greet fans at a fence yesterday, and he was walking like an old Colombian man. It didn't look good. And I know that obviously bike riders are used to being hunched over their bike, and so it changes their posture, but he's young, you know, it didn't look that healthy. I think for Bernal, he's a wonderful, wonderful bike rider, but I think it's a good thing for him if that's his ultimate goal, that he won the Tour de France when he did, you know, and he's not having to be up there with it. Yeah. And he's not, you know, taking on a Pogacar in the form of his life, for example. But yeah, you can't take away from Bernal, especially with the back issues, actually, that he was able to, so far at least, looks like, without jinxing him, take the Giro d'Italia.
With any luck, yes. So we've got Bernal's post-stage interview now.
Have we?
Yeah, I'm satisfied with the result. I think we managed well the situation. Finally, we have 2 minutes in advantage for tomorrow's time trial. So I think we are in a good position. It's not the best to have the second in the GC in front of you with almost 1 minute in front of you, but finally I still having 3 teammates, so I try to use them, and then just arrive as fresh as possible in the last climb, and also for tomorrow. So I think we did well, we managed well the situation, but of course was difficult to manage the situation.
Is that a fair summation?
They absolutely did, yeah. And the result reflects that.
Yeah. Where, by contrast, did it all go so wrong for Simon Yates?
Oh, I don't know. Nieve was near the back on that climb, wasn't he? First one to San Bernardino. He did look like he had a lot of people around him. He won that stage, just he must have gone deep. You know, maybe his legs weren't up to it. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't say it went wrong for him. He just, what was he supposed to do? Attacking off of that Martinez's pace at the end. I mean, it's very difficult to say. I wouldn't say it went wrong. I think he probably managed himself really well today, because he still finished on the podium, isn't he?
And he wasn't beaten by Bernal. He was beaten by Ineos Grenadiers.
Yeah.
No one really can win against that and the form that they showed today.
Yeah, he just didn't have the people around him. Mm. Time and time again, we saw that
Yeah, well, it took a mighty effort to attack off that pace, get up to the group, which was also being set at a pace with Bilbao and that, and then attack again and try and win the race. I mean, it was just the tactics had to change for him once they went on the descent, which no one did expect.
And this is Simon Yates, it's only his second ever Grand Tour podium.
Yeah.
You know, we can't sniff at that because he's...
It's a great result.
It's an amazing result. And when he's come close and fallen away in the past, when, you know... That's almost been mythologized now, and it's a wonderful part of cycling history. But ultimately, when you look back in your palmarès, you want results up there, and he's got it. You know, he's podium of the Giro d'Italia. It's nothing to be undervalued.
How many British riders have we had on podiums in Grand Tours the last 5 years?
In sport, really?
Yep, Carthy, G.
Tao,
him again, Simon Yates. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
we should be celebrating that, shouldn't we, Graham?
We should. Why did we not see an alliance between the teams earlier, given that Yates doesn't have the strength in depth?
Why would you see an alliance? They're separate
teams. Well, the only way you're going to take Ineos on, surely, is to...
Well, we saw
they had an alliance with Ineos, didn't they, in the end, trying to bring back Bahrain and
DSM. They had to
ride
with them. They put Christian Jensen up there. The alliance came from a situation that was going to benefit both people in Bahrain and GSM in the front.
But you never had that with Sky, where you felt like other teams were ganging up on you, if you like?
No. The only time we got benefited from it was Movistar. Levi Leipheimer crashed. I was leading Paris-Nice, and we were coming into Nice. And Levi Leipheimer crashed at the top of the climb on the descent into Nice, and Movistar hit the front and made sure he didn't get back for some reason. I don't know why, which aided us. I don't know why they did that. That's the only example I can think of, Graham.
Okay. We'll be back with more from the Bradley Wiggins Show after this.
Pigeons.
Zwift is the world's training playground, Brad, where fun takes you further, recreating the outdoor feel of riding on an indoor trainer. Something you can get on board with, I think.
It does, yeah. And Zwift have done it very well, and they're now the leaders, aren't they, in that world? And they've got the likes of Geraint Thomas on board, and you know, probably can't get
your old mate, yeah.
Yeah, and it's you know, they did some involvement with Team Wiggins a few years ago. We joined in one of their shops, Pinarello shop races one night, and my son uses it. I watch him during the winter months. It's something I wish I'd had when I was 15, definitely just to, from a safety point of view, when you didn't want to let your kids out on the road in the dark.
And anyone can use it. So, you know, you don't have to be G, you don't have to be a pro. You can train with thousands of real people.
Yeah. Like, you can train with anyone. You can ride with anyone from the world of pro cycling or from your workplace or school, whatever age you are.
Brad, like you say, most of the pros on the World Tour train on Zwift.
Yeah, hop on anytime, heart pumping, intense cycling, join group rides, events and worldwide races.
Zwift has 9 worlds too, including the stunning Paris and France maps. They've recreated Tour de France stages, which gives everyone a chance to experience them. You don't have to have been Bradley Wiggins to experience what it's like to ride at the Tour de France. You can hit your kilometres with virtual dinosaurs, raging waterfalls. You can be inside a volcano, James Bond-esque, a wide open California desert. Plus, you can tour London landmarks.
All you need is a bike, trainer, and Zwift app.
You can get a free 7-day trial, Brad, no strings attached, at Zwift.com. Welcome back to the Bradley Wiggins Show, brought to you by Zwift, where fun is fast.
It is.
Brad, looking ahead to tomorrow, the final TT, just over 30Ks. Pan flat. What can you see happening? How do you see it playing out?
Dana winning.
Yeah, I think that's,
So he.
There you go. Headline done.
we should say that he dropped off quite early today. So
yeah, I would say Dana winning, and then I think Bernal winning the Giro. I can't see, and Caruso finishing second, and Yates third. I can't see much change. The gaps after that are too big. I can't see Vlasov, Hugh Carthy fifth. You know, I should mention him. That's a great ride from Hugh.
Huge ride from Hugh. I mean, we saw him drop away again today. It's not quite gone.
Well, he's been consistent. I mean, he's not been the Hugh, you know, we anticipated about a week ago when he was looking to attack on that stage that got shortened and win, you know, Hugh tried to win. But from then on, you know, he's found his place really. And he's been riding and, you know, he's defended his place. You know, he's not been in the action, but he's not been getting dropped either. He's been there or thereabouts. And it's a great ride, fifth place.
It's funny, I think, at the stage of a Grand Tour, you feel like the riders are where they're supposed to be. You know, sometimes you can have surprises through the course of the 3 weeks and somebody will be higher than you think they should be, someone should be lower, but by the end, everyone's where they deserve to be. It all makes sense when you look at the last 3 weeks, you know.
And Hugh's backed up his Vuelta ride from last year. He's now getting more and more consistent, you know, which is, We must never forget. We have to celebrate the successes. We probably put too much pressure on them sometimes to, and expect more of them because we're getting so used to British riders doing so well. But actually, when we think about it, we've got third place or fifth place. And Simon Carr, let's not forget, he's been a brilliant rider here.
Amazing, yeah.
Ineos looking for another dominant Giro. I mean, it's sort of fast becoming their favourite race, isn't it? Certainly their favourite.
They didn't dominate last year, though. They won it on the last day.
But they dominated in terms of stages. I mean, with Ganna.
Yeah. But riding in a very different way last year. And that's what I felt this year. And I was going to ask you about this, Bradley, but I thought last year was so exciting. And they weren't necessarily, they weren't contesting the overall for a lot of the race. And it meant that they were firing off the front. They were being daring. They were nothing to lose. They were going for stages. And it was beautiful. So when they won in the end with Teo, it was something to celebrate because it was beautiful bike riding. Mm. And they said, this is the start of something new. We're going to ride differently. We're going to race differently.
They have drifted back.
Yeah, haven't they though? I mean, people say, oh, because I've asked this question in the sofa and I've said, well, you know, they're drilling it from the front. That's just the same, isn't it? And people have said, well, you know, before they would have, that would have been a defensive move. This time when it's an aggressive move, it's attacking. I'm sorry, but from where I'm sitting on a sofa, it looks like a lot of Ineos Grenadiers lads up the front. And it doesn't look very different as whether defending or attacking. It's not being dynamic. But I guess when you're winning the race, that's what you got to do.
Do you reckon they've tricked us?
I think it fitted the narrative last year, don't you?
It did definitely fitted the narrative last year.
But this is in their DNA. This is how they do it.
Yeah, I think this is probably how you win tours in the most efficient way. But yeah, they you know, the stages in the tour last year where they were jumping off the front with Kwiatkowski and Carapaz and they couldn't ride like that this time because they had to ride like that to get across the line. And they inevitably, you know, they've tried to change and they're gonna light up cycling and do something no one's ever done before, like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna win stages and we're gonna jump away, but ultimately you drift back to what you're good at, and they are very good at it. And today was a classic example of that.
This is why I'd like to see, say, for the Tour de France or the Vuelta. They've incurred a lot of hatred, I think, over the years, and for their riding style. I'm not against them winning in any way whatsoever. But what I like to see is them under pressure. I like to see them not winning throughout a race. You know, if they win at the end, fine. But when they're not winning and they maybe don't feel like they've got a chance of winning, then they're fun. It's fun to watch. And you can see the kid in all the guys then when they're riding. You know, it's what they came into bike racing for, racing on instinct, racing on gut, racing for the fun of it. That's a much more exciting prospect as a fan to watch than an Ineos taking a leader's jersey halfway through a race and taking it to the end, isn't it?
But when they're not, they're very sensitive as well, aren't they? They're touchy. Yeah. They're very touchy.
Very touchy.
You know? Well, they were on at my man Rabin yesterday, you know, about clarification of context and all this. You know, it's like, what do you mean he's got a bad back? You know, and it's like, oh, just simmer down. Life's more, there's more to life. Just race. You're going to win the Giro. You know, it's like, oh, clarification of context.
He's going to win the Giro. Is he? Is it a done deal?
Yeah. Barring injury, barring crashes, barring hopefully
he'd have to pretty much fall off and not be able to get back up again. No, really.
Bad back,
but anything can
might
happen.
Have a good back.
Yeah.
Well, what if he's got a good back?
Might have an okay back.
What is a bad back?
There's 6 seconds between Caruso and Yates in the first time trial. I know it's only a short one, less than 9 kilometers, and then a second between Yates and Bernal.
Yeah, I mean that's what. So I mean, it's pretty evenly matched.
We're looking at very little changing tomorrow, aren't we?
No, I don't think much will change, and it's, you know, we can hope, you know. But as fans, we want to see sort of a spectacle, you know, at the end, but it looks like it's a done deal, barring crashes, injury, weather, you know, severe weather tomorrow and sliding all over the place. So
Caruso would have to make up 2 minutes in a 30-kilometre time trial. Simon Yates would have to make up a minute and a half or so. You know, they're the things that are possible because bike racing always throws up the unexpected. But if everything goes even vaguely according to plan, then that's going to be the podium, isn't it? But it'll still be thrilling to watch.
We'll be. Tune in. Don't forget to tune in.
We'll still be watching. Brad, what do you think Dave B is going to be saying to his riders
tonight?
Same
he said the last 10 years. I think it was very, very monumental. I think it was one of my best wins. I think he's a very coachable athlete. I think, you know, I'm really proud of the boys. I think they did a great job. And, you know, I think that they've remained focused.
It will still be heads on, though, won't it, for Ineos tonight? It's not like they're going to be.
They'll be focused. You know, there'll be an element of relief. A lot of the team will be finished, won't they? You know, Pucho, those guys, they're just going to go out and ride around and enjoy.
You've just got to make it through.
Yeah.
What's phenomenal about seeing that team from the outside, and you obviously have lived it from the inside, but I've always been blown away from your success onwards, Bradley, watching that team right up until the final. The finish line, And we've mentioned Jumbo-Visma in the past and how they've maybe fallen away by losing that focus and declaring themselves de facto winners three or four stages out. With Sky as they were, Ineos Grenadiers as they are genuinely completely dialed until the very last minute. And I've never seen that level of focus in professional sport.
And I'll tell you what they'll do tomorrow. The guys, last time, Charles, Bernal will be there early, you know, an hour and a half before his ride. You'll have guys way down the GC like Pucho and those guys. They'll be there getting warming up as Bernal arrives. And they'll be headphones on. They'll be as dialed in. So they will be taking it seriously. But once they get on the road, they may just ride along. But they will treat that warm-up environment as if they're trying to win the Giro as well. They won't be sitting there with music on, not warming eyes, not a point in warming up. They'll do their job 100% to create that atmosphere of seriousness. You know, when I was at Sky, I would ask them not to, because you're the last rider off. And sometimes, so whoever second on GC is from the Ineos squad, I don't know, Martinez probably, will be off probably half an hour before Bernal. There is a tendency in other teams, and we change this, to start packing everything away so you can get off quick afterwards. So you're sat there as the leader and they're packing turbos away, taking all the screens down and things like that. You know, and it's like, hang on a minute, I haven't gone yet. So they changed all that. We got them to leave everything up to the last minute. So once he's gone, then you pack away to create the same environment. So that shows you that the team, the staff, will be staying there right to the end, even if they're later back to wherever they got to drive to after the race. And that's what they do really well.
How do you fill the time as the rider in that position? So we know what the team is doing, but you've got to sit there.
And I used to think about the course and the process of going through it and what I was going to do and how I was going to be feeling and get really in touch, almost like a Zen state. I never spoke to anyone. I didn't want anyone talking to me. I didn't want people to speak. People feel like they're helping you by coming up and going. Riders would finish and come in and go, oh, just be careful after 20K. There's this corner, right? Watch this. I didn't want to know anything like that. You know, just focus, because people throw in stuff and they think they're helping. I had one person who was looking after me. I think it was Shrekky at the time or Mario. And they would just, if I wanted something, I'd ask for it. They don't keep coming out and go, do you want a drink? Do you want a coffee? You all right? You sure you're right? If anything you need. Didn't want all that. You know, it was just everyone was under instructions. I'd set time. I'd put my shoes on first. I wouldn't lace them up. I'd leave it 10 minutes. Then put oil on, whatever. It was like everything. I had my own routine.
What did you listen to? What music?
I had the same playlist for the last 5 years before, all through that period.
Please,
I had an old iPod.
Shania Twain, Avril Lavigne.
Well, if you listen, I'll tell you. No, Graham. No, I had an iPod that I bought at the Tour of Lombardy in 2010. And I was rooming with Steve Cummins and I gave it to him and he downloaded all his music because he's a DJ onto it. And I had this one playlist that I used to listen to. I knew where to start it and where it would finish before I hit the ramp.
Wow.
And I would listen to that same one when I won the Worlds, the Olympics, everything. The same.
What was it? What was on it?
It was just a dance mix. But I knew what song ended when I had to start my sprints on the warm-up and everything like that. And I wasn't listening to it. It was just background noise, so I didn't have to talk to anyone else. Yeah, everyone's different. Everyone's different.
Very different to Froome's playlist that he released quite recently.
Did he? I didn't see that, no.
Quite eclectic, wasn't it?
There was like Shut Up and Dance on there.
Yeah, everyone's different. Yeah. I mean, you know,
I think there's a bit of Katy Perry, was there?
Yeah.
There were some tunes I thought, yeah, I'm with you on that, Chris. Yeah, get down with that.
Bang tidy.
Speaking of tunes, we're doing a Eurosport karaoke tonight, aren't we, Bradley?
It's how works do.
What have you got? What have you got lined up? Chaz and
Chaz, yeah, a few. Yeah. I've got quite a few.
You're going to do a duet with Sean? He's promised me he's going to do Whiskey in the Jar with me, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
What else have you got lined up, Paula?
Oh, maybe A Whole New World with Belle, the makeup artist. I'll do maybe a little bit of James Bay.
I'm doing Rapper's Delight.
You were going to do Eminem, weren't you?
I'm going to do Eminem.
Which one?
I'm going to do a bit of Judith Priest. Yeah. Don't laugh. Don't laugh, please. A bit of wet. Why not?
Love us all around.
I might treat you to a bit of James Blunt.
Oh, you've been promising this.
Horrible
you've
bastard.
Been promising James Blunt, Beautiful, and Wheatus's version of what is it?
Doesn't mean, Erasure or Wheatus, yeah.
Honey,
Honey, are you okay?
I love how you've taken a little respect. And I thought, oh, amazing, a big Aretha track
Wheatus. I'm not touching that. All right, I think we better leave it there. On that note, that brings us to the
and
end of this episode.
Your bed sheets smell like poo. I'm in love with your best friend soon. That's a bit of a Justin. What is he called? Ed Sheeran.
I was going to do his cast.
I'm in love with your body.
Quick, let's get off. Finish.
That your bed sheets smell like poo.
That brings us to the end of this episode of the Bradley Wiggins Show by Eurosport, brought to you by Zwift, where fun is fast. Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Orla.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Looking
you.
Forward to this evening.
Let's go. Let's get it started.
Brad, where can we follow you on social?
You can follow me on a few accounts, but the main one is Wigo.
You troll accounts, perhaps, as well.
No, I'm not that sad.
Orla, we can follow you at
Sports Orla.
Lovely. At Eurosport _UK for Twitter, and you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. Thank you to our producer, Pete Burton. Finally, from me, Graham Wilgos, it's goodbye. If you've enjoyed the show, please subscribe, share, and rate us. Brad, see you tomorrow.
Au revoir, Garnier, Paris.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.